podcast Members of the Chamber is presented by Piper Foods and fueled by McCafe. If you're listening in your car, why not stop by one of Piper Foods' 5 McDonald's locations in Oakville or look them up on any McDelivery service. We thank Piper Foods for their generous support of our chamber and for everything they do in the community. Now let's get started. Welcome, Oakville Chamber members. It's time for episode 5 of our podcast, Members of the Chamber. Oakville Chamber members, one story at a time. Members of the Chamber is a podcast where each episode we sit down with one member of our chamber community and have a conversation. A conversation about their professional journey, their job, and how they ended up where they are today. My name is Drew Redden, and I'm the President and CEO of the Oakville Chamber of Commerce. We're broadcasting from the brand new Staples Studio co-working facility located at 320 North Service Road West in Oakville, Ontario, and this is Members of the Chamber. This episode of Members of the Chamber is brought to you by Watson Investments, formerly known as Peter Watson Investments. Since 1991, Watson Investments has been building concrete, actionable, holistic wealth management plans. Imagine the benefits of having someone acting as your personal CFO, better enabling you to feel comfortable to make informed financial decisions. To learn more of what Watson Investments can do for you, call 905-842-2100 or visit their website, watsoninvestments.com, to sign up for a free consultation. Watson Investments is happy to have a conversation. Joining us today on Members of the Chamber is Doug Sams. In March of 2014, Doug was appointed as Executive Director of the Kerr Village BIA. Going on his 5th full year, he has coordinated the growth of Kerrfest, along with several new events and initiatives. Doug's resume includes over 15 years of leadership, planning, administration, marketing, and public relations in the local sector. Doug has experience as an instructor, leader, and fundraiser at the collegiate level, having served on as a staff member at Oregon State, Idaho State, Northern Iowa, Urbana University, Fairmont State, Northern Michigan, Stanford, Delaware State, and Edinburgh University. Doug has lived throughout Canada, living in Montreal, Edmonton, Ottawa, and now the GTA. His experience and hobbies include coaching football, running, golf, reading, movies, and community theater. Doug, welcome to the podcast.
It's good to be here. I've been a traveling man for a while.
So, yeah, no kidding, eh? So left out of your bio is that you're a Grey Cup champion. Where's the ring?
The ring is in a, yes, safety deposit box. You know, the interesting thing is I always said if I ever won a championship ring, I'd never take it off, but now I hardly wear it.
Did you wear it right away?
For a while. Yeah. And it was fun. And then I've got a couple others. I've got a couple from the colleges, okay. Three other conference championship rings. So, but the Grey Cup one is a special one for sure.
And for the listeners, where did you win that Grey Cup?
Edmonton in 1987. Yeah. I was a special teams coach, and that was the game the Gizmo ran back 115-yard missed field goal in the Grey Cup.
Wow. Awesome. So I'm a huge sport fan, so let me get some of these questions out of the way. Okay. Was it the CFL that brought you to Canada for the first time?
Yes, it was. I remember growing up as a kid on ABC Wide World of Sports. They always showed the Grey Cup, and I played football, and I went in to coach U.S. college football, but I always had in the back of my mind that, you know, that game looks wide open, fun, and exciting. And if you talk to anybody in the U.S. that's a football fan, when they watch the CFL game, they love it because it moves so fast.
Yeah. No, it is a faster game, right?
It is. And it's totally different. Like, I've seen a lot of guys that couldn't play up here that went to play in the NFL, but I've seen a lot of the NFL guys come up here and not fare so well.
Really,
so
eh?
It's interesting. It's a total different game.
So you talk about adjustment for the players. How was the adjustment for you? Moving from the States to Canada?
Really, it wasn't. I had guest coached for 3 years with different teams. And the biggest difference is you have an extra strong safety on the short side of the field. Other than that, the fronts are the same. the coverages can go unbalanced, but there wasn't a big learning curve. I mean, football fundamentals are football fundamentals. It's fun to use the motion too.
So what about personal life, the food, the climate?
I've always had jobs in the north, so that wasn't too bad. And the food, there are differences, but not that much. Poutine, I've had poutine. Yeah. That's something you don't have in the States all the time. But it's been great. It's a great quality of life here in Canada, and I've really enjoyed it. And, you know, after 2013, when got bounced around a little bit with jobs, I just decided, I made a conscious decision to stay in the area and make a go of it. Really liked it here, and people are great. It's a great, the GTA is a great area to be in because there's so much going on.
So yeah, our listeners would know you as the executive director of the Kerr Street Village BIA, and here we are talking football. So how did you find yourself coaching in the CFL in 2013 and then, you know, the next year running the Kerr Village BIA?
Well, you know what? It was just a little bit of a transition. There are similarities because you have to get people to work together as a team. I was always involved in fundraising, marketing for different programs, recruiting businesses to support your program. And you always had to deal with, just like you do now, university regulations, town regulations, regional regulations, federal regulations. So there's some common denominators there. And it's about, you know, the biggest thing that's in common with it, it's about building relationships and helping people succeed and problem solving. So those things I've always kind of been adept at, and it's been fun. It was a change of pace, but it's one that I've really enjoyed, and I've really kind of upped my I've learned how to do Adobe Creative and create movies and stuff. So that part of the growth has been really good.
So you still follow the CFL?
Yeah, I do. I see a number of games either in Hamilton or in Toronto. I still have friends in the league. They'll call me, say, you want to come to the game? I got you some tickets. Yeah. And, you know, I've probably watched a lot more football than I have even when I was coaching. I see a lot more games, and I pay attention to the trends and what's going on. So I'm a sportsman. I saw the Marlies lift the Calder Cup. Yeah. I've been to some Blue Jay games. I've been to some Maple Leaf games. So I've always been a sports fan. So living in this area, it's been great for that.
So not sports, but entertainment. Kerr Fest is probably the biggest event your BIA puts on, and it's what you guys are known for. How much fun is that to put on?
It's fun. There's a lot of challenges involved. You know, you want to make a safe event for people. And, you know, it started in 2014 just kind of as picnic in the park. People came in. We didn't even have a fence up. They came in and threw down their blankets and listened to music. And now we got a fence up around it. We got a big stage, a video board, and the park is licensed. And I think everybody comes and has a great time. And we've kind of built our reputation. It's really turned into a fantastic event.
So who was your first act in 2014?
Cowboy Junkies. And we had Bill Durst. And, you know, it was quite that first year was quite a lineup, and we've evolved it through the years. You know, Jim Cuddy, Stephen Page, Durst has been back every year. Loverboy, Trooper, Honeymoon Suite. I know I'm leaving out somebody, but, you know, word kind of travels around the musicians. And when they come, they see we have a tour stage. They see we have nice dressing rooms. The comments we get is, hey, we're going to tell our friends about this event. And then last year, Platinum Blonde really had a good time. And they said, man, it was one of the most for a venue of that size. They said it was one of the best ones they had been around because the people are so close, they can feel the energy. That's why Colin James, he could feel the energy. He came on 10 minutes early, played 10 minutes late. He just felt the vibe from the people. And that's the credit to the people that have attended. They've created it's been a great atmosphere for bands to play in.
So what's the process for booking a big act like you get? How does that start? Where do you reach out?
Well, you know what? We have a couple of agencies we deal with, so we give them a wish list. We've had our wish list in for this year for about a month. And like Colin James, to get Colin James, it was about a two-year project because really? it We wanted him 2 years ago, but he had just released an album. He was going on tour, North America tour. So we just kind of stayed with it. We'd inquire. So we have a committee. There's four of us, and we start that process. You know, we have a wish list. We have an A group, a B group, a C group, and we just, you know, we work through the agency, who's available. And the key thing for us is you have to get a group that enjoys playing festivals. Like mm-hmm. some people we've approached, they don't want to do an outdoor festival. So we kind of target acts that enjoy festivals that we think people will enjoy and come out for and get excited about. And it's something that in our society today, there's a lot fewer venues. We're lucky. You know, we've got a local venue that plays music, and mm-hmm. we have a local outdoor festival, like a lot of places don't have that. So we have to, in our society today, we have to promote those things so we don't lose that opportunity to have that. So that's always a concern.
So any insight for our listeners who will be headlining this year?
Well, we've got, it's hard to say right now. We have a couple offers out, but, you know, for me to comment would, until this contract sign would not be.
So are we still on the A-list, though? Or?
Yeah. Okay, we're good. Still on the A-list. And everything, once you get your headliners and your openers signed, it kind of, everything else kind of falls into place. We got a plan and we just got to see if it, you know, one of the things is you have to be a little patient because right now, you know, people are looking to plug in tour dates and that, and you can get a better price in January and February okay. than you do earlier.
So do you use your headliner as leverage for down the ballot or down the lineup to say, hey, we got these guys?
Yeah. Oh yeah. That helps. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, for example, I'll give you an example. We got Trooper. Mm-hmm. And Randy Bachman used to live in this area. So we were always trying to figure out how we could get Bachman to play at Kerrfest. So once we signed Trooper, he actually wrote the first five albums for Trooper. And they had not played together since the late 70s. So once we signed Trooper, we talked to Randy and said, would you be interested in coming on as a guest with Trooper and play the last couple songs? He says, oh, yeah, I'll call him. And he, we just went through him. He arranged it. And Randy was funny. He says, we're going to play this song, and Taking Care of Business. I mean, he had it all planned out. So, yeah, it does. It helps. Like, those guys, a lot of those guys, like Trooper, Honeymoon Suite, Loverboy, they'll play on, they know each other. They'll play on different billings. And so that's how we got Bachman to play Kerrfest.
That's cool. So, you know, you talk about the Oakville connection. Do you get to use that with a lot of artists? Because even at the Chamber, we hosted Ron McLean at our Chairs dinner last year. And, you know, I think it was because he's an Oakville guy, right? And giving back to his community. Is that similar?
Yes, like very similar. Similar. And actually, Ron's, he'll shop around this area. And we'll find some way in the future to get him involved on a couple of things. It all depends on his schedule.
Yeah.
And
he's extremely generous.
Oh, very much so. He loves it. Yeah. You know, he comes to a couple of our restaurants and eateries and stuff. And, you know, I've had a chance to meet him a couple of years ago, and he's very gracious. And so, you know, that part of it, there's a lot of great musicians that live around here. And so we try to use, like Jim Cuddy, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, we try to use those connections a little bit.
Good. So I know I get questions from folks. Isn't the Chamber and the BIA, aren't they the same thing? So can you kind of explain the role of the BIA and how you support the businesses along Kerr Street?
Right. You know, one of our things is our jobs to get, for that specific area, is to get feet on the streets. And so that's why you have the events. That's why you promote the area. We're there to assist our merchants. We're an advocate for our merchants. We're a liaison with the town for our merchants. So there is some similarities, but there are also those differences. Whatever the town provides in streetscaping and that, we try to enhance it with either flowers, banners. Mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of an extension of that. We're under the Municipality Act. We're under the auspices of the town. But it's been a good partnership with the town and with the Chamber. And so, you know, we have a defined area where the Chamber serves all of Oakville. But it's been good. We're all working together. It's very important. I think it's very important that you have different levels of organizations that function together so you can get more done. If you start trying to cut those things out, like I'm alluding to amalgamation, mm-hmm. it's not a good thing because then services suffer, it takes longer. And the one good thing about having different layers of organizations and government is people learn how to do it, how to govern, how to do those things. You cut out a layer, I think it hurts the future of leadership. So, and I live in an area that's amalgamated. And I asked, when all this was going on here in Oakville, I said, what's the biggest difference that you saw once you became amalgamated? I said, hey, on the day of a snowstorm where you used to get it plowed that day, it might be 2 days. And so, and we got a great split from the municipality to the town. It's 52-48. Yeah. So, you know, I think people do get more bang for their buck here. I mean, as a positive, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Oakville has three BIAs. How closely do you work with, downtown BIA and the Bronte BIA?
Well, we have met quarterly before. We kind of exchange ideas, and we try to not to step on each other's toes. Like we try not to, you know, I used to get calls every year. Hey, why don't you guys do something on Canada Day? I said, well, Bronte's got Canada Day. That's their celebration. So we try to do different things, and, you know, we're all after the same thing. You know, we all want what's best for the community in our areas and our business owners. You know, we're all three distinctively different. What offsets Kerr Village, we have the small business person. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a few big companies like like Shoppers or Jisk or Food Basics, but most of them are truly small business owners, and that's what makes our area very unique. And you don't want to lose that identity because down the road in the future, yes, we have to increase growth and we have to have development, but you got to be careful because if you bring all those things in and you've got places for people to live, well, you better have shops for them to go shopping because where are they going to travel to go? You know, so that's always there's trends. You know, you look at trends, you look at what's going up in Toronto, and, you know, condos come in on that block, tax rates go up, small businesses close. Well, where are those people going to go to shop? They have to go farther, they have to travel somewhere. I mean, yeah, you can call out and have stuff delivered, but, you know, I think people still enjoy the one thing. We have a lot of award-winning restaurants, and people like to still go out and eat and do things. We got a great community movie theater.
Yeah, Film Dots, yeah.
Yeah, and the prices are reasonable. I mean,
and
it's
popcorn,
like,
too.
Yeah, and great popcorn and pizza and other things. And, you know, it reminds me of the town I grew up in where you had the small theater and all that. We don't want to lose that. We got the Moonshine Cafe. They supply live entertainment. We don't want to lose those things. We got some great, you know, one thing that's hurting us right now is, I don't know if everybody's aware of it, but the Ginger Man had a kitchen fire last spring. That used to be the Cheers at Kerr Street. Even if people didn't, if I ever wanted to find somebody, I'd just go down to the Ginger Man, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, people would stop in there and they might have dinner, they might have a drink, but what they do when they come down to Kerr Street, they'll pop in and out of places or a restaurant and eat something and see a little shop, say, I'm going to go into that and see what it's like. And we always have a little bit of a transition. We've had vacancies, we have different stores coming in. So it's always a treat to see what's coming in next, right? So we're always trying to head in a positive direction.
So I personally am a Kerr Village resident. And when I moved to Oakville, I told friends of mine who grew up here that I was moving to Kerr Street. And the common reaction was a shocked face, followed by a comment, you're moving to where? And I now understand that the Kerr Street they grew up on is not the same Kerr Street I know today. So can you talk a little bit about the revitalization and even the change you've experienced over your time as executive director of the BIA?
Well, you know, when I first came here in 2014, I heard about, you know, how 14, 15 years ago wasn't the place to be. And I, ironically, right around the corner from where I live, there's an older couple who raised their kids at the end of Kerr Street. And it was like an open area. It wasn't, you know, it's more like, I won't say it was farmland, but it was open land. And it's changed. And so, you know, people never used to pay attention to Kerr Street. It never got, you know, it kind of just was, I won't say a time warp, but it just didn't, it stayed the same, but now it's changing. We're excited about the businesses that we've had come in. We're excited about opportunities. So it's slowly progressed into an in area. I've talked to people in the residence associations on both sides of us, and the reason they moved there in that area is because Kerr Street and Kerr Village, BIA, reminded them of where they were from. Mm-hmm. It's got a very unique, special, eclectic feel, and it is changing. We're attracting good businesses. We still have a ways to go. Are we there yet? No. With the underpass coming in, starting construction a year from now, that's going to attract, we're going to attract developers, and we just all got to work together and make sure it's the right kind that we want.
Well, I moved from downtown Toronto to Oakville, and the reason we chose Kerr Village was because we wanted that walkability.
Yep.
You know, my partner, she still travels downtown Toronto on the GO line to work, so we need to be close to the GO station, but chose Kerr Village because you have the, you know, the restaurants, the shops, and whatnot. So that was our selling feature for us too.
And I think it's great, and there's nothing like a nice spring day or a summer day to walk down Kerr Street. Everything's easily accessible. Our area is a big area. It's not just Kerr Street. It's along the lake shore down to 16 Mile Creek Bridge. It's up on Spears. It starts at Woody Road and comes all the way down just barely past the Ring Condos, goes all the way up to the tracks. So it is a big area. But, I mean, there's a lot of variety, which is nice.
So we have a lot of foodies on staff at the Chamber in our office. And our office is located at the top of Kerr Street. So what are Doug Sam's go-to lunch and dinner spots?
Oh, well, I try to share the wealth.
Share the wealth, spread it out. Okay.
Well, you know, when I first came, our offices were above Stoney's.
Oh, okay.
So that was, you know, I kind of
smell it. Drip,
yeah, it's hard to stay away.
Is it lunchtime yet? Yeah.
So I've tried to sample as many restaurants as I can, and I do have my favorites, but it's. It's like you never have to eat the same thing. And then when we moved down on the street, it was near Maison Delice Bakery Deli.
Yeah.
And then it's Astado. And I'd smell that. I'd smell all the food cooking and all. That was hard.
Yeah.
And then now it's going to be, it's changing over. It's going to be a decor shop. But and the other thing, it's not just the restaurants, it's the butchers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got, you know, you got Bafo's, you got Marble Meats down on the lakeshore, you got all these places, you got breakfast places, lunch places, dinner places.
Yeah, oyster places.
Let's just say I don't starve.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't blame you. So where do you see Kerr Street in 10 years from now? We've talked about the change that's happened over the last 10 years. Where are we headed?
Well, I think we're headed in a positive direction. There is going to be development. The area is going to change. And I think the density growth is going to change. I think there's going to be more development near the GO train stations. And, you know, Kerr Street, I think, you know, you hear things that may or may not happen that'll take 10 to 15 years. But I think there's a nice renewal going on. I think we'll attract new businesses. I think the developers want to come in and develop not only more living spaces, but also commercial spaces at the bottom of those. So, yeah, I see it changing, but I just don't want it to affect from the other side. Is you want the change to be beneficial. I don't want to see it hurt the small business person, because that's, you don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose that feel that we have.
Yeah,
and that's,
can't forget where you came
yeah,
from.
Yeah, I can't
right?
forget where you came from. So that's, it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, so I know the development applications are coming. And so there's a lot that has to go into that. So, you know, we have a counselor that sits on our board, and we have two Ward 2 counselors, and I've kind of conveyed to them the things I think we have to be watch out for, and because you just don't want to go, you know, there's got to be balance. Mm-hmm. We all have balance in our life. You all want balance. We have some great green spaces in Kerr Village. Yeah. And those things we want to keep and maintain. But we also want to grow. We want to have some development. So we'll see. I'm not sure words. I think it's going to go in a positive direction. But to what form it's going to take, that's still to be determined.
Time
will tell.
So, Doug, you have a fascinating career. Sports, Kerr Village, VIA. What's the best piece of advice you've received along the way?
The best piece of advice I've received is always bring your A game.
I like it.
And that came from Mary Lou Retton's uncle. Okay. I went to interview at Fairmont State for the head job, and I knew I was in good shape when they asked me to stay for the basketball game. He used to be a basketball coach there. He was retired when I was there, but he won 82% of his games in 20 years. But his favorite sport was baseball. But him and I became really good friends. He was a mentor to me. And he always taught me, whenever he talked to the team, he said, always bring your A game. Because then everything else doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. If you've done your best, then that's what counts.
Well, Doug, this has been great. Thank you again for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
To our members and listeners, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to tune in. If you know someone that would make an interesting guest on Members of the Chamber, please send us a note to info@oakvillechamber.com. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure you stay up to date with what's going on at the Chamber by following along on social media. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you to our producer and Chamber Communications Manager, Kristen Curry. And last but certainly not least, thank you to Watson Investments for supporting this episode of our podcast. We'll talk to you soon, Oakville Chamber.